This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm great. It's been an eventful week, you know, here at the shop.
We've had a
lot going on, a lot of events recently, and excited about Celtic Fest coming up, which is great.
Yeah, when is Celtic Fest?
Man, so it's a second weekend in September. Actually, when this episode comes out, it'll be 2 days after that. So,
oh, my gosh.
It's September, what is that, the 9th, I believe?
So that's this week.
Yeah, that's right.
I am not prepared. I'm not prepared in the slightest.
Yeah, you don't have your kilt yet?
Will you be busting out the kilt?
Oh, I'll have my kilt.
Back in the day.
It'll be washed and pressed.
You know, the apprentice formerly known as Tim used to wear a kilt. Do you think
he would?
Caleb the intern will be wearing kilt?
I don't know. I don't think Caleb the intern has a kilt yet.
Oh, I think we can kickstart that.
But we might, yeah. And he would probably be up for that. Yeah.
Oh, man. No, that's awesome. All right. Well, man, Celtic, will you be representing the Celtic Fest?
Of course. Yeah, I have a booth there, and we'll be out there all day, and probably, as is tradition, sell a ton of corn cob, or I'm sorry, church warden pipes.
Yeah, yeah, man. I remember the first year y'all did that, I went out there and smoked my corn, or you got me doing it.
Right.
My church warden, just trying to, like, you know, give it a little bit of sex appeal, just standing out there with my church warden being like,
that's right,
you too could look like this 5'5 fat man.
Like, hey, to your credit, you've lost some weight since
that's
then.
True. That's true.
And kept it off.
Yeah. So kind of. I got it off, and I got some of it back. Not all of it. It's good. I feel pretty good about where I am right now.
Yeah, that's good.
Celtic Fest is a lot of fun. You know, I think in the past I've tried to take a couple of pictures. We tried to do Twitter thing, a Periscope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We tried that last year. It didn't work, but I don't think Periscope was really working on networks, so maybe we'll be able to do it this year.
Yeah.
And do a little Periscope from the booth, because I think that'd be a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, though. Think Renaissance Fair, but with a heavy focus on places like Scotland, Ireland, you know, places like that.
Was it last year that I stumbled by the booth after the whiskey tasting? Or was that the year before that?
I think that's every year, Bo.
It might have been. It may be. Let's be honest. It may be. Well, hey, guys, we've got a great show planned for you tonight.
Yeah.
We've got an amazing guest we're about to talk about here in just a second. But before we do that, we want to encourage you to do two things for us. The first one is to go to facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. Check out the event that we have coming up. Country Squire Radio live from New Orleans.
That's
be
right.
There October 22nd. You're not going to want to miss it. The other thing that we want to encourage you to do is support the sponsors of the show. Like the good folks at Beanfruit Coffee. If you go to beanfruit.com, you can actually find some amazing coffee roasts, some amazing coffee blends over there.
That's right.
Paul Bonds is the roaster, and he does some amazing work. You know, they've got a beautiful website. I got to figure out who actually does their website.
They really do, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's solid work. As a matter of fact, I love all of Paul's graphics that they use at Beanfruit.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of the entire inspiration of that. Even the name, I think, is really lovely. But you buy their tobacco, of course, in bags that you would expect from...
also
from
their coffee.
Any roaster.
Not just their tobacco.
Yeah, yeah. They
they don't have any tobacco.
They don't. Yeah, right. they don't. But each bag actually, of course, you know, is marked with the roast date of this particular blend.
Dude.
Which is nice. So handwritten on the bag. And just a great variety of blends. What's your favorite? My favorite is the Crimson Stamp.
You know, I like the Ethiopia.
You like it?
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, you should. We're talking some great small batch stuff. Beanfruit.com. Use the code CSR at checkout. Get yourself 5% off and help this show out when you do it. All right. Tonight, we've got an awesome guest, Max Stokeby. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking royalty here.
Within the pipe world, right here at the Country Squire.
I mean, yeah, within the pipe world. I mean, like, you know, look, York is something of a regal name, but that doesn't... like, the name Stokeby takes you a lot further than the name York
does.
Nowadays
it does. That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, so look, this great guy, he was actually, of course, in the shop. Several weeks back, you got a chance to sit down with them.
That's right.
Have a chat. We've got the audio here for you guys to enjoy. If you're not familiar at all with the Stokeby legacy, my guess is this is your first time listening to this podcast. But more importantly, we encourage you to sit back, relax, listen to the story of the of Max, his family, and of course what he's doing today in the pipe world.
Yep, that's it.
Well, hey, this is John David Cole here at the Country Squire. And man, I have the pleasure of having a good friend of mine, Max Stokeby, here to join us at the shop today. Max came in town for a blending event that we're going to do on Saturday and on his way passing through. And man, what's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm great, John David. And just want to say thanks for having me here at your awesome store. Things are good. Things are good. Obviously, the industry is going through some changes right now, but it's an interesting time.
Yeah, I would say. Oh man, yeah, a lot of wild and new blazes to trail, new paths to blaze, I guess, if I can get that out right. So yeah, I know we've got a lot of movement going on in the pipe industry right now. But man, so glad you could come by the shop, and it's always good to bump into you. There are a lot of good people in the pipe industry. But there are some people that just have a really great spirit about them that I think really stand out. You're one of those folks, and of course, being a Stokeby, you're very much tied into the kind of the legend of the pipe industry and all that stuff. I know you probably get tired of hearing that sometimes, but yeah, man, we just kind of wanted to sit down and talk a little bit. Of course, you're the rep for our part of the country for Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group, so you represent some of the best selling brands, of course, in America. In this part of the world, all the Lane stuff, we think of 1Q and BCA and HGL and you know, Crown Achievement and so many others, but then also the STG stuff as well. So you know, all the Peter Stokeby greats that we think of, the Luxury Bullseye Flake and Navy Flake and things like Orlick Golden Slice and Escudo and all those kind of things too. Captain Black too. You're repping your Captain Black shirt today. So man, tell us about kind of what you do a little bit.
Well, John David, I travel across the Southeast, as you mentioned. I'm one of our reps. You know, certainly I try to promote our tobaccos to the best of my ability. But I think also more than that, what I really enjoy about it is establishing relationships such as the one that we have right now, meeting a ton of great people. It's a lot of travel. But, you know, certainly if the end goal is helps you sleep at night and let you go to sleep with a smile on your face, so to say, then I think it's all worth it. So yeah, I really enjoy what I'm doing. Got a great team of people that I work with, and I really enjoy this part of the job. Certainly the socializing and hanging out and smoking a good bowl of pipe tobacco. I mean, that's hard to complain about for a living.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig, I must say. Being able to come to a place every day and smoke with some very interesting people is it's a great way to spend your time and make some cash. How long have you been with Lane?
I've been with them 2 years. You know, as you mentioned, the family history, certainly growing up, pipe tobacco was always relevant. You know, I remember from when I was a very young kid, my dad's car always smelled extraordinary because there was always pipe tobacco either being smoked in it or around. So, you know, it's something that I've grown up with. And along the way, my parents and my grandparents, you know, they opened up doors and opportunities. And I was never pushed through to do anything, which is fantastic. But you know, they presented opportunities and I stepped through those doors and here we are now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been with the company 2 years and really enjoying it. Sort of, like you said, trailblazing here a little bit, trying to make something out of the pipe tobacco industry for myself.
That's great. And you're what's interesting, you live in North Carolina. And Lane is based in Atlanta in America. Is that right? So right outside of Atlanta,
Tucker, Georgia. Yeah.
Tucker, Georgia. So, but you're originally from Denmark. Is that correct? And, you don't sound like you're from Denmark, which I always think is funny. And of course you have this funny last name and you come to a place like the South and like, what kind of name is that, boy? You know, but, yeah. So, I mean, you grew up mostly, there, but then I guess as a relatively young person came to the States, right?
Yeah, I was 11 years old when we moved here from Denmark, and certainly initially there was some culture shock, you know, going from a little you know, liberal Danish town to a big city Charlotte, you know, in the Bible Belt.
Right.
But, you know, I appreciate what you said about the accent being non-existent. Certainly, even when we lived in Denmark, you know, I was taught English in school, and even before then, you know, having my granddad, Peter, and Bentis Stokeby living in California, we would go visit them. So I knew all the basics, hello, please, my name is, yes, no. Now I can't hide it, though, because I say things like, how y'all doing, and I love my grits. So
that's fantastic. And to your fellow Danish back home, it's probably kind of terrifying, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because when I go home now and I'm speaking Danish with them, they'll tell me, you know, wow, you have a thick American accent. And I deny it. I deny it completely. And I still do. It's untrue. If you know any Danes, it's completely untrue.
Right.
You know, it's funny. We went, of course, to the – well, I got to go to the Chicago Pipe Show. I think the Lane Company was actually putting you to work. You weren't able to go to Chicago this past year. But the – you know, after English at Chicago, probably the second most common language I heard spoken was Danish. And I've just never interacted, I don't think, with as many Danes in my life. So it just goes to show you kind of the incredible heritage that Denmark has had as far as really high quality pipe tobacco blending and or tobacco in general, really. You think about all, you know, some of the greatest blends of any stripe that have come out across the world. So many of them were developed in Denmark. So do you get back home often, Max?
I was, time flies, doesn't it? I was going back often. It was, you know, once every year, and then that became, you know, a little longer and a little longer, and now it's been about 6 years since I've been back. So,
wow.
Yeah, and you know, I certainly have family and cousins and uncles there, so planning a trip soon there to get back.
Can I come with you? That's no obligation.
But yeah, certainly, you know, it's always nice to go home and sort of reconnect, but now that my roots are a little muddled, you know, I also have a strong connection to North Carolina and Charlotte, so it's interesting, but certainly there are times where I feel like a stranger in the Southeast with my Danish upbringing and, you know, whatever you want to call it.
That's awesome, man. Man, so cool. I love that, you know, you had, obviously you're around tobacco growing up and you're around the pipe industry coming along, but it was never one of those things you've said to me multiple times that was ever forced on you. It was kind of something that, you know, the opportunities were there and you knew people in the industry, but if it was something you wanted to do, you could do it. And obviously you, you know, loved it enough, had enough of it in your blood to kind of step into that realm and take off. And you're only 27. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So spring chicken, baby. Just young and green, ready to sling some pipe tobacco out there.
Split right now.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man, it's awesome because, you know, of course you come to shops like ours tucked away in the South and call on shops all over the country, but, there is that element of you're the Lane guy and you're the Scandinavian Tobacco Group guy, so you get to represent all these great brands. But you know, you're also, you know, there's a family heritage thing here. And so what is it like, you know, for folks to kind of, you know, come up to you and say, hey, I've been smoking your family's tobacco forever. I know, I can imagine sometimes it gets kind of old, but like, it's probably got to feel pretty good, huh?
It's definitely an honor, JD. I mean, you know, to come from a family with such pedigree and lineage, it does leave big footprints to be filled for sure. But you know, you try not to focus on that. Try to, as I mentioned earlier, blaze my own trail and do my own thing. But there are certainly times where mentioning the last name has helped me out in situations with customers that you know, otherwise didn't know who I was or things of that nature. But yeah, as you mentioned, you know, it's open doors and opportunities, and you know, I have my parents to thank for that, certainly. But I always thought, and I still think this to this day, that in the pipe tobacco industry, and a lot of the tobacco industry, there aren't that many bad eggs.
Right.
I really don't think there are. I mean, I've met so many people that work in this industry my whole life, and I can probably count on one hand, you know, how many people weren't genuine, nice people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're, it's a tight-knit community, obviously, as we've become, you know, over the decades, a little smaller of an industry. It's become a lot more tight-knit, and we take care of our own, and there's a lot of, you know, we stick together and support one another and all that, and that's, it is pretty remarkable, the quality of people that are in the pipe industry. So Yeah, I have to agree. Man, obviously you work for Lane and y'all represent a lot of tobaccos. Tell us kind of about, you know, what's going on at Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group. You know, what's new? I know y'all have come out with a few interesting things in recent months here. And, you know, just tell us about kind of some of the stuff that y'all are pushing right now.
Sure. Yeah. So one of our latest Lane bulks is Lane Dark Red. It's picture BCA or Black Cavendish, if you will.
Right.
And the twist on this is instead of leaning more towards vanilla flavor, it's got a nice cherry taste to it. So it's a black cherry, if you will, Black Cavendish cherry. It smokes very smooth and cool, similar to BCA if you smoke it by itself. And sort of on the after note, as you exhale, you catch those hints of cherry. It's absolutely delicious. In the tin front, we just launched Andouille, which is actually very exciting. I think it's a tobacco that's been smoked in the Dominican for hundreds of years. It's pressed in a palm leaf, and down there in the Dominican, they either smoke it straight or they chew on it, actually. And so what we did is we added a little bit of Latakia and Black Cavendish to it, and it smokes really, really well, and certainly tastes interesting. It's a great tobacco, but it's just very cool to bring a new type of pipe tobacco to the industry. You know, it's not an aromatic with a new flavor or a stronger English or a weaker English or a new Virginia Perique. It's Andouille.
It looks so fascinating to me, this interesting cigar leaf, I guess, that I am not familiar with, to be honest. And bringing that into the new, you know, into a new pipe blend and just seeing where that goes off. I love the, you know, innovative thinking there. And, you know, I think it's really awesome. So is that open? Is that available for purchase now?
Yes, it is. That is available at the retail level. Yeah.
You smoke a pipe too. I know you're around tobacco all the time. So, give us an overview of some of your favorites, some of your personal kind of go-tos, whether it's, you know, some of your blends or brands or not, if discussing those things won't get you fired.
No, I don't think that should be an issue, JD.
The folks at Lane are great, so I imagine it wouldn't be.
We're taking a plunge on this one.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I hate to sound cliche, but 1Q is good all times of the day. At the end of the day, when I'm sitting down and I'm beat and I really want to relax a little bit, if I have a glass of scotch or something, Crown Achievement or any strong English really satisfies my craving. But, you know, it's interesting. I was just having this conversation with another gentleman in your shop. It's hard for me to peg myself on one type of tobacco that I enjoy. Really, it's similar to food cravings almost with me. You know, one day I'm feeling pizza. The other day I need a salad. The next day I want a steak. You know, it's the same with tobacco, man. Yeah. It's sometimes a Virginia Perique sounds right up my alley. Orly Golden Slice is what I need. Sometimes I don't want that at all. But, you know, a Burley and Light without a bite is it's kind of funny. But I'm all over the place, man. And I know that's not trying to dodge the question. But,
no, that's okay.
But really, really, it's... I'm not a picky eater and I'm not a picky smoker.
well put, sir. Well put. You're kind of like me in that regard, in that, you know, of course I'm eaten up with ADD and I can't sit still anyway. And my pipe tobacco smoking decisions follow that very regularly. You know, I can't commit to one thing. You know, it's hard for me to relate to the folks that have come in our shop for literally 40 years and bought, you know, the same pound of Cherokee or Flambeau or Cornishman that they've come in and gotten for every week for, you know, decades. And I have trouble relating with that because I'm always over the map bouncing, you know. So I definitely get it. There's different times of day that I need a different, you know, flavor or, you know, experience or something like that. So I understand. But, man, it's good. I know you get to see a lot of pipe shops and you know, cigar shops that sell pipe tobacco and stuff like that. So you probably come across tobaccos all the time. What are just some of the interesting stories you have, though, from the road? Like, I mean, have you bumped into any, I don't know, different tobacco shops or people in different shops that you've met that just kind of stand out? Kind of just tell us a little bit about what it's like to be on the road some.
Yeah, certainly you meet interesting people traveling across the Southeast, mostly for the better.
have you been offered any roadkill stew yet?
We won't talk about that here. No, I mean, it goes back to what I mentioned earlier. It's really great people that I get to deal with for a living, and that's certainly a very fortunate thing in my life. But, yeah, you meet some characters. You know, certainly there's guys from deep in New York, born and raised with thick accents,
right,
you know,
right.
Interesting background stories. I'm not going to name drop anybody here. But, you know, you've heard stories about guys living in Florida and moving trucks of bananas and
right.
out there stuff.
Are we sure they were bananas?
Yeah, exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah, that's insert another noun there. But
right.
Oh yeah, you meet some interesting people, and you know, a lot of them have met my father and my grandfather too. So it's always fun to hear stories about them hanging out with Peter and Eric, and
right.
Certainly stories about hanging out with Peter are always pretty fun. He knew how to have a good time. So, you know, you get some fun stories there, and instead of smoke a cigar or a pipe with you know, a store owner and hearing about their stories with my granddad is fascinating. And
that's cool.
It is.
Did you know your grandfather?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Did he pass away? How long ago was that? Can you remember?
Yeah, that was back in 2005.
Okay.
So it's, yeah.
What was he like as a man? I think a lot of people, you know, we've smoked his tobacco for years. Can you just, I don't know, a few sentences kind of describe Peter Stokeby?
Sure, yeah. Well, I haven't met anybody that wasn't Peter's best friend that knew him.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is it was very genuine. And I think that's why people felt that way, because he was a very genuine guy. He meant what he said. He didn't like to... He didn't like to beat around the bush about things. He's a direct man, a genuine man. So it's touching to hear people's sentiment on my grandfather.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. I know it's special. And, of course, your dad followed in the industry, too. And he's got his own thing now, making really, you know, top quality tobaccos and beautiful pipes. And as a matter of fact, he was gracious enough to sponsor, you know, several episodes of the Country Squire Radio. We loved the opportunity to interact some with him too. So really cool, man. But we are excited about the future of the pipe industry, and you know, obviously have a lot vested in it, but believe in it too. You know, believe in the community of it. We were talking here earlier as we were eating some delicious pizza for lunch. Just you know, the beauty of what we do is we love tobacco and we love pipes, but you know, this is a relationship industry. We're committed to the business, but we're committed even more to the people. And that's what makes this fun for me. And I know you feel the same way about it. So man, that's great. Dude, thanks for coming on the show with us. I have to ask, you know, we always ask folks this as kind of a parting thing when we have them on, but, if you could smoke a pipe with anyone in history, whether they smoked a pipe or not, who would that person be?
Oh, hands down, Cleopatra.
Wow. I've never gotten that answer before.
Yeah.
And you immediately knew the answer.
Oh, yeah.
So why?
Well, that's just sort of my go-to on every, if you could do something with a person in history. I think she's just a fascinating woman.
That's awesome. I probably haven't heard the name Cleopatra since I was in, since I was in high school. So, dude, more power to you. I think that's great. You know, that'd probably be a fun conversation.
Yeah, you don't know what to do with that one, huh, JD?
You kind of threw me a curveball there, dude. I thought I was putting you on the spot, and now I feel really uncomfortable and kind of shifting in my seat here a little bit. So, man, dude, that's great. Well, brother, any parting thoughts or anything? We're glad you got to stop by the Squire.
Well, no, I just want to say thanks again for having me today, JD. Always love hanging out with you guys. Like I said, we'll be smoking pipe tobacco tomorrow, and we'll be smoking it in the future. So
that's great.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, Max, thanks for coming on. Max Stokeby with Lane and Scandinavian Tobacco Group.
What a great interview, man.
Man, I had such a good time talking to Max. It's one of those things where every time I interact with him, I'm just always encouraged by the quality of people that are in the pipe community. And he, of course, exemplifies that. He's just a good guy, comes from a great family, and believes in the products he represents.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, is very honest about, you know, his opinions and all that, but also, you know, it represents some really super stuff and is good at what he does. So.
Yeah, man. I mean, just a great representation for STG and Lane, and, you know, they make great quality products. It's one of the things where there are so many great people in the pipe world. And like
yep.
you said, he is just one of them.
Yep.
And, honored to call him a friend of the show, and, hoping to get a chance to see him. You know, he'd mentioned possibly even making it out to New Orleans for the,
he did. Yeah, that's right.
For the live show there. So, if you have not gotten a chance to meet Max, and if you hadn't had a chance to meet Max, you absolutely should come out for that as well. If we're not a reason enough for you to come out to October,
that's right.
On October 22nd to New Orleans.
That's right.
Max Stokeby, he should be.
Yeah.
So yeah, come out for that. And hey, you know, speaking of great people in the pipe world, you know, we've got some great people that help make this show happen. And
that's right.
The good folks at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right. We, of course, are big fans of the folks at Missouri Meerschaum and their corncob pipes, and very high quality pipes, value price. So it's something that is affordable for anyone. And like we talked about last week, you know, these are pipes that you can actually buy and smoke as is, or you can modify and do some cob foolery of yourself.
Can we just say it? We geeked out last week.
No, it was awesome.
Like we geeked out on Missouri Meerschaum, their amazing corn cob pipes, and what you can do with them.
Yeah,
know, like
yeah, yeah.
Like there's just I'm still kind of in that kind of like buzz a little bit.
We found a corn cob pipe with Darth Vader on it.
Can I tell you?
And like bamboo and stuff.
I have purchased stems.
Yeah.
To do some custom work. Like, I'm yeah, in it.
Have you really?
I'm in it now.
I didn't realize. That's awesome, man.
I got an entire bag of them. Like, I've got more than I need. But, like, it's, yes.
So game on, baby.
Look, I'm in it. And look, the great thing is there's so many great corncob pipes from Missouri Meerschaum to, you know, you can do custom jobs, or, of course, you can smoke them.
That's right.
Because they are excellent smokes. You know, we've talked about our favorites in the past, but the pipe that is actually representing the show tonight is one of, from the Cobbett series.
Okay.
The Cobbett series. Which is the Wizard?
The Wizard, yeah, it's probably the best selling of all the corn cob pipes in that series. Yeah,
you know, the Wizard's one of these pipes that, as I get like geek out about wanting to customize some of these, I couldn't touch the Wizard. It's like
it's kind of already
perfect.
Done. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, of course, all the Cobbett series pipes, they've got long stems. You've kind of got the idea of the you know, Hobbit is, you know, the Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. It permeates that series, mm-hmm. And so you can imagine it's a semi churchwarden style pipe, and really high grade stem on these pipes. They use ebonite for the stems and put a lot of work into them. Very good fit on everything. It's all real tightly made, and the bowls on the different pipes are super attractive, most of which people see in the Wizard. So,
yeah, oh, absolutely,
a great pipe.
Very cool. Well, hey, check them out, Missouri Meerschaum. Excellent quality pipes. If you have not done so already, get yourself one. We want to thank them for supporting this show, as you guys are supporting them.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week. Again, this is part two. You know, last week we talked about the first half of these questions that were sent in from Derek Brent. And again,
yeah, that's right.
These are really more geared towards the community, but I just thought they were worth kind of bringing up and looking at the show here. Last week we talked about budgeting for pipe tobacco specifically. This week, part two of that series of questions, he asks, how much of your purchased tobacco is for cellaring and how much is for everyday smoking? Are you a daily or occasional smoker? And how often and when do you smoke in any given day or week or month, I suppose? Thanks in advance. I look forward to all the responses. All right. So
yeah.
Breaking that down, you know, we talked last week about how our purchasing habits are pretty different from kind of most
probably
people.
From most of the folks, yeah, in the pipe community.
But
yeah.
But of the pipe tobacco that you do purchase, that is kind of, you can say, is, you know, yours, you bring to the house.
Yeah, sure.
How much are you actually cellaring, and how much are you actually smoking it as soon as you got it?
Well, yeah, and a lot of times what I'll do with cellared tobacco is I'll go ahead and open it up. I like to put my cellar tobaccos in mason jars. It's just kind of a thing I do. It helps me keep them organized better. And also, a lot of the, I call them coin style tins, the tins that are flat and typically gold metal. I don't trust those tins very often. I've seen those tins that have lost their vacuum seal years ago. And you know, you'll open it up, they'll be molded or, you know, completely dried out or, you know, ruined in some way. So I don't trust those tins. And typically most of my tobaccos I'll take out of whatever tin it's in and put it in a jar. And because I do that, I will immediately smoke some of my tobacco. I will. So I buy, you know, just kind of tins here and there, typically a couple a month, you know, as far as a tin goes, put it back in the cellar and just kind of see how it goes. And then, you know, if I'm, you know, having a thin month, I might not buy one at all. But, you know, typically it's probably a couple a month to put back. Yep. Okay, that's me personally. Yeah. I know there's a lot of folks, you know, if there's a kind of tobacco they don't have that they, that, you know, that their cellar is lacking in, they don't think twice about it. They immediately buy it. So,
almost that collector's mindset.
Well, and yeah, that there's a thing too in which, you know, you can swap and trade and gift other people with these things as well. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks that see it, kind of as an investment. So,
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I've become more of a cellar guy than I used to, because I used to be like, I get the tobacco because that's what I want to smoke right now.
Right.
I've completely changed, like, over the course of the last couple of years as I've gotten kind of deeper into the hobby. And now I'm big on, and I've got I don't want to brag or anything, but I feel like I've got a pretty impressive cellar. Like, not in terms of like quantity, but in terms of quality.
Quality for sure.
Like, yeah. And part of that is because, you know, we've been very blessed. You guys are awesome, and we've gotten some amazing gifts, and I think I can say that from friend to friend, right? That's okay.
Something like that.
One way or the other. Y'all have been so gracious to actually be like, Bo needs to be more educated about tobacco. Here, take it.
Right, please take and smoke.
Exactly. And so y'all have been wonderful. So now I've got a pretty impressive little cellar.
Yeah.
And that I actually had a good amount of second breakfast that I cellared for a year.
Man, I bet that is delicious.
You want to talk about,
I haven't
like,
smoked a second breakfast that age.
Oh my gosh, it was rich.
Yeah.
Like, it was good.
Awesome, man. That's great.
I thought it was excellent.
That's one of our tobaccos that I think makes the room smell extraordinary.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
I love it.
And it was one of these things where I kind of cellared it for a year by accident.
Whoops.
Like, it was literally, I think right after you came up out with it, I got a whole bunch of it. And then I put it up, and it kind of like fell back behind the cellar.
Yeah.
And then
I
found it, and I was like, "What is this? What I think it is?" oh my gosh, it was so good. But yeah, so I'm big on cellaring, and in terms of, you know,
Things like daily or occasional pipe smoker that Derek asks. You know, I'm a daily smoker, except sometimes on the weekends when I'm not at work and I get real busy or am out and about with family or running a lot of errands. Sometimes I won't smoke my pipe, but you know, typically, you know, working in a place like the Squire, you know, I'm an average, you know, once or twice a day kind of guy.
Again,
yeah. I used to have a higher puffing. I used to smoke my pipe more,
right.
I, you know, as I've gotten busier and busier, the pipe for me is such a relaxing thing, that it's, I almost feel like I kind of ruin the experience of a pipe when I smoke it when I'm in a hurry.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And so I really, when I smoke a pipe, I want to make sure I can sit down and enjoy it and really appreciate the flavors and get the nuances of it. And I don't find that when I'm really busy. And, you know, as I bought the shop and things have kind of changed, I find myself not smoking it quite as much. I used to probably smoke 3 or 4 bowls a day, but now I'm probably during the week once or twice a day.
That's good, man. Yep. I'm very much an occasional smoker. And it's probably, I never really thought about it before, but it's for the exact same reason. I don't like to be rushed when I smoke my pipe.
I associate it very much with rest.
Yeah.
You know, pipe smoking for me is that thing. And that's why so many folks come to our shop to rest. You know, it's kind of their place of rest. And I'm, you know, constantly running around while I'm here. So sometimes it's, you know, harder for me to do that than others. But
Know, the other thing about it, and I mean, you know, there's going to be different schools of thought on this, but I mean, I got small kids at home, and I don't feel comfortable smoking around my small kids. It's not, you know, they know that daddy smokes a pipe. That's not the issue. I'm just not big about, at their kind of early developmental age being here.
Yeah.
We're all going to have different schools of thought. I already know.
No, we do.
I offended half our audience when I said
that. Yeah, there's people that bring their infant daughters into the shop.
There's people, so, you know, we've got a good friend who actually carved a little pipe for his newborn.
For his infant daughter.
Not
right.
to smoke, obviously, but but still, you know, I mean, so it's one of these things where it's, we're just all going to have different schools of thought.
That's right.
But I am looking forward to them getting older, so I'll feel more comfortable about smoking at home because I
well, they can do whatever the heck they want.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So great questions, man. Great pipe questions sent in again from Derek Brent. Hey, if you haven't done so already, go over to the Facebook page and respond to those because, like I said, he put those up for the whole community. I know he'd love to get some feedback overall.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire questions. Ow! These come in the second half of Pylorin's quick fire questions from thispipelife.com. All right. We got three of them. They're kind of interesting here.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yep.
Genghis Khan versus... let me preface this. I'm assuming he's saying who would win in a fight, not who do we like better.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Can we go with that?
We'll go with
okay,
that.
Okay, so here's
the... Yeah, because all of these choices are of the questions are... These are not very good.
Nah, just the worst.
Right.
All right, so who would win in a fight? Genghis Khan versus Napoleon.
All right, technology coming out of this and military strategy and force of personality being the main factor, okay?
So they're both...
I mean, Genghis Khan didn't have, like, you know, artillery and stuff, okay? Like,
it's like Secret Wars from the Marvel Comics. They've been plucked out of time and space and put into a unique environment where they all are on equal playing fields with a unique technology to itself.
Yeah, Genghis Khan. Napoleon was an incredible, you know, tactician and, you know, of course, a genius both in you know, things of the military, but also in leading people. You know, he was just an extraordinary person as far as that goes, but and did conquer almost all of Europe. So, you know, I would have to go, though, with Genghis Khan.
I'm going to bet on the short guy.
Okay, yeah.
For that reason alone.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Yeah. Napoleon. Yep.
I'll go with Napoleon. All right, Genghis Khan versus Hitler.
Yeah, that's difficult. Hitler, he, again, force of personality, so he had such a way of kind of, he was, you know, took advantage of a country during an extremely trying time for them, and so people were really eager to hear stuff that would make them feel better, and he was very charismatic, so I don't know. I still have to go with Genghis Khan on that. Genghis Khan, I don't know if people have listened or read about Genghis Khan. He could burn some stuff up, man. I mean, like, he conquered, I mean, basically all of Asia. Like, I mean, and
it's not a small continent.
That's not, that it's not. It's not. It's actually a very large one.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I think of, like, Blitzkrieg, but instead of taking over, like, you know, Normandy, they took over, like, you know, the entire, you know, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan and Mongolia and
so
all the rest of
it. So it was all like, you know, burn it down and build it back up type deal?
Yeah, mostly just burn it down. Yeah.
Fair enough. you've convinced me. Genghis Khan, though.
Yeah, yeah.
This is more like whatever John David says, except for the Napoleon, because I've got to bet on the short guy. And then finally, Genghis Khan versus Stalin.
Oh, no question. Genghis Khan.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Stalin, of course, was a pipe smoker.
Now I got to bet on the pipe smoker. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean,
I was assuming Genghis Khan was a pipe smoker. Is he not?
I doubt it, but maybe.
Google ho!
Yeah, we're about to find out.
And a quick search of Google shows that cigars? Really?
No. No, there's a Gurkha cigar company.
Oh. Yep. Well, that says Gurkha Genghis Khan cigars.
Oh, I bet Gurkha has a brand called Genghis Khan.
All right.
Or a line.
Well,
probably.
See, now there's a line of cigars named after Genghis Khan, whereas Stalin, of course, was a pipe smoker.
He was a pipe guy.
I gotta give it to Stalin for the pipe.
You gonna go with Stalin?
Yeah.
Stalin was just a big schmuck that just had no value on any type of human life. So he was one of those guys that if he had more people than you, he could win. And that's just because he would just throw them all at you almost like, you know, meat that he didn't care about. So, you know, Genghis Khan, not that this guy had any incredible, you know, idea of the value, sanctity of human life.
He loved his fellow man.
In very much, you know, similar attitudes probably as Stalin. But, you know, I think Genghis Khan did a lot more with a lot less. Yeah. So, again, Genghis Khan.
I just remember that, the communist sitcom on Family Guy. You remember that?
I don't remember that.
It's like, quit Stalin. I forgot the joke.
Quit Stalin.
I just remember they're big on puns, which of course so are we. So
right.
that's always
really bad.
Fun. All right. There you go.
3 out of 3 for me, Genghis Khan.
All right, Genghis Khan all the way for you. Yep. I bet on Genghis Khan when, except for the short guy and the pipe smoker.
Right.
And I mean, like, yeah. All right, there you go. Those are quick fire questions. Interesting. Very creative there,
Pylorans.
That's
a very strange quick fire question.
There you go.
But yeah, that's good.
Shows you where Pylorans' head is at, I suppose. He wants to conquer the world.
He might.
He might.
He needs to get on it, though, and quit Stalin.
Quit Stalin! All right, man. Great quick fire questions. Again, those came in from Pylorans over at thispipelife.com. Hey, are you on thispipelife.com?
You need to be.
You absolutely need to be. Head over to thispipelife.com, an amazing online community with some great resources for you, some beautiful photos of things like pipes, like tobacco, things that what really would qualify more than anything else is pipe culture, something that we are big on here.
We are.
At Country Squire Radio. So if you have not done so already, go check it out, thispipelife.com. Use the code CSR when you are registering, and that helps out the show. Check it out.
Check it out.
Your thoughts? Your comments. Listener feedback.
And listener feedback. Listener feedback. Actually, this week we've got some great listener feedback. You know, we talked last week about samples. We actually brought it up the week prior to that.
That's right.
And you guys, y'all have been rolling in with some great suggestions on how samples should be renamed. Now, we're not saying just call it a different thing.
Right.
It is a different thing.
It's a different thing.
There's a transaction involved.
That's right.
And so, you know, it's a similar amount. It serves a similar purpose.
Similar purpose, but, you know, that because of regulations now by our friends at the FDA, we you can't just, you know, when someone walks in and wants to try a bowl of something, you know, we can't just give them a free sample anymore. They have to, there are no more free samples. And so what do we call it when someone comes in and wants to try something for a price, which, you know, could be a nickel or a penny or a donation to, you know, something or other. So we've got to figure out kind of what to call it. When someone walks in, they want to try tobacco, and it's not a sample anymore. What do we call that?
All right. So here's what we got. Lewis M. writes in. He says, tobacco tippets. Tippets.
Okay. Yeah.
Penny pinch was suggested by Jonathan M.
I like a penny pinch. Yeah. It's kind of old fashioned.
I do like that. There's something with an old fashioned sounding. Does that? It makes sense.
Yeah.
Taste test tobacco tapas trial tokes. These are all coming in from Kirk G. Taste test might be too similar to sample.
It could be.
But yeah, tobacco tapas. I'm digging that.
No, tapas. That's good.
Could you bring it out on a gluten-free wrap and everything?
Small plate. Yeah, no, right.
That'd be amazing. Tobacco tapas. That's a creative one. Joe W. says a 2-cent teaser.
2-cent teaser? That's good.
Then Mark VV, he says tobaccotizers.
Tobaccotizers.
Like appetizers. Tobaccotizers.
Yeah, well, like if you go to Chili's or something, they have the appetizers or whatever they have.
Yeah, tapas sounds a little classy. tobacco.
I like tobaccotizers.
That is good. Steve B. says tobacco taint, because it taint free and it taint a sample. Used in a sentence.
This is his sentence.
Used in a sentence. I went to the pipe show last weekend and scored a bunch of taint, because taint is also the plural of taints. Wow.
Fantastic.
Steve, well done, sir.
Yeah.
That's great.
Fantastic.
You mentioned we got some on Twitter as well.
Yeah, our friend at Varge says a few replacements for sample might be dram, saver, plunder, or my favorite, slap. He says, slap me with the good stuff and hug your mama. So that's one option. We've got at Portland Paul says a pirate's pinch, a Samaritan's kindness, or a pipe snack. I like pipe snack. That's good. That's good.
Very good stuff. Yeah.
Again, Pappy Badger says a
two bit hit,
which I think is kind of two bits, of course, which is 25 cents according to him.
Oh, okay.
And so two bit hit. I kind of like that. Yeah, I think that's it.
Great stuff. Like, y'all are so creative. I know y'all keep rolling these in because they all sound great. How are we going to decide which one?
I kind of like two-bit hit. That's good for me.
Yeah, but there was the one that I really dug that, hang on, what was it? Tobacco tapas was funny.
No,
I
it
feel
is.
Like, I feel like tobacco tapas should be somewhere between whatever, you know, the sampling is and then just actually like a full-on purchase.
Yeah.
Like tobacco tapas. Like, there's just something there. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. So great, great suggestions overall. Love it. Love it so much. Hey, I want to make mention of one other thing. It's not necessarily feedback other than I discovered his channel while looking for feedback. Morten Sandevi, whose name we always butcher.
Right.
And I just did.
Yeah, that's just...
It's just a thing at this point.
Right.
It's just part of the show. He actually has a YouTube channel.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I occasionally, probably about once a quarter, honestly, I'm bad about this. I try to do kind of a general Google search and look on various kind of networks to figure out, okay, who's talking about us this week, that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, I'm not as meticulous as it as I should be. So a lot of the times you guys, y'all need to let me know if y'all do that and then we'll be able to promote you guys out.
Yep.
But I did see that, he's got a YouTube channel. You can actually find it. Let me pull it up right here. Gave us a great shout out. Rocking an amazing beard when at the time that he recorded the video.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's Mox Puffs, MOXPUFFS.
Awesome. Yeah. Mox Puffs.
On YouTube. So y'all check out his channel. Let him know you heard about it on Country Squire Radio. I know that a couple of you guys, from time to time will, make a comment. Those of you in the YouTube Pipe community, we're really grateful for you guys, y'all support. We've always said before, you know, we do broadcast live via YouTube, but we've always considered ourselves a podcast first.
That's right.
But at the same time, you know, I do want to represent a little bit in the YouTube Pipe community. I'm trying to figure out what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because we want to be supportive of the YouTube Pipe community. And in whatever way that we can. So, very cool stuff. Check out his channel. Also want to probably make mention of this as well. Sometime in September, YouTube is making some changes to their Google Hangout.
Okay.
So that, you know, we do the live show, we do it through Google Hangout. If you tune in at countrysquireradio.com, that's where you can actually tune into the live show. We encourage you to do so. The thing is they're changing it up. I forget like the terminology that they're using. I don't know if it's just a brand change or if it's like a total redoing of it. But one way or the other, what I can assure you is you'll be able to tune into the show in whatever capacity at countrysquireradio.com. And so if that ends up changing some things to our YouTube channel, we'll let you know once they inform us a little bit more about it. But I've noticed like the notification, you know, when they're about to change software, whatever they tell you, like things are about to change, so you should know about it. And basically all they've said is, things are about to change. Now you know.
We'll see where it goes. Right. We'll see where it goes.
So one way or the other, that might be changed a little bit. But I would suspect we'll still kind of have the YouTube channel as a piece of it. I mean, I would imagine it syncs up. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. We are, you know, if it ain't the FDA, it's Google.
I know, right?
What are you going to do? But yeah, look, y'all check out the show. We will be back next week. You can tune into the live show Monday night. We hope you join us there. CountrySquireRadio.com. That's 6:30 Central, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. So much easier when it's directly in the show notes.
It is.
Amazing how that works. We also want you to do a lot of things. Keep up with us during the week. At Squire Radio is where you can follow us on Twitter. You can also follow me personally. I'm at The Real Beau York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
All that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, having Max on the show is something we've wanted for a long time.
Dude, it was great. It's always good to reconnect with Max. And of course, first time he's been able to come do an event at the Country Squire and hang out for a good bit here. We're great to have him on the mic, and hope to see him again soon. But yeah, this was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.